What should you be doing this offseason to improve your shooting skills? Well, I'm here with Emily Stuchel of Facts and Firearms, and she's going to let you know all about it. This Gun Talk Hunt is brought to you by ATN, the future of optics, Timney Triggers, the world's finest triggers, Hodgdon Gunpowder, yeah, the gunpowder people, and Sig Sauer. Welcome in, Gun Talk Hunt fans. I'm your host, KJ, and to my left, your radio dial right, we've got Emily from Faxon Firearms. Welcome in.
Hi, thanks, KJ. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so today, if you're listening, you should really tune in because we've got a beautiful firearm on the table. I promise you, it won't disappoint. We're going to get into some story time, but really kind of what I wanted to focus on at the beginning, for those who aren't familiar with you, is to talk about a little bit of your background, because she's got some shotgunning tips that are going to change your life, right?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I shot shotguns for a long time. I mean, I still shoot competitively, just not as much as I want to. But I kind of got my start with cowboy action shooting and moved into clay target shooting. So clay target shooting is kind of my main shtick now, but
I wouldn't call it a shtick. Seriously, because it's a different level of competition, because where you went to school, Lindenwood, is a storied program.
Yeah. So I got recruited to Lindenwood right out of high school. And at the time, they were the top shotgun program in the country. And the way it worked is we had a team of about 100 kids. About 25 of us were all around shooters. So we shot every single event. And we got to travel the country shooting clays on the dime of the school, you know.
I got to
travel all over, mostly the Midwest. The school's in Missouri, so I got to go all over the Midwest. Got to go to nationals in San Antonio every year, and I just got to do what I loved, and it paid for most of my college, and it
that
was great.
So the first time that I became, like, I guess, aware of Lindenwood was at the national shoot in San Antonio, because I was like, Who are these kids? Because they all could shoot. And that was, man, they ran the table with it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was, you know, when I was there, it was, I think we were going into our 11th consecutive national championship when I was there. And we won nationals all 4 years I was there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got to get 4 national championship rings and I got to shoot.
Do you ever just like go around and sport them and just like show people, like,
I don't want to be that guy. Prowess? They're huge. They're like Super Bowl rings.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I barely wear them. Sometimes I'll bring one to SHOT Show, because when I'm working the booth and I'm wearing like a dress and heels, people normally think I'm just there like as a receptionist.
Right.
So I like to like have the ring on to remind people I know what I'm talking about.
I can do this.
Yeah. I know which way to point the gun and I can do it pretty well.
Yeah. Cause I shot with you. You were at AOB before, but we came out to an event, touring the facilities and everything else. And you were just rolling through, because we had a little shotgun event before.
That's right.
You shoot, and it's a little bit intimidating. I'm not going to lie.
Man, well, you know, it's just something that I've always loved to do. My whole family shoots. You know, when I started shooting clay targets, my parents started a youth team, and they really got into it, too. So it's just something we all love to do together. But it's also something that, I don't know, you know, once you start doing it and you're shooting consistently for years, I mean, you really gain those skills, and it's nice to get up there with some industry friends that maybe don't know that you're good enough, because you don't really know until you see someone shoot.
So have you done the, like, kind of rope-a-dope on some guys? Because it's always guys that sit there and they go, oh, well, it's a girl, she can't really shoot. And so you go up there and go, wait, now how do you load this? Like,
what?
Because
what is this?
Yeah.
This is a shotgun? I don't.
So does this shoot 24 gauge? Like,
yeah.
Do you do little stuff like that just to like go, oh,
I would love
then all of a sudden she gets in her stance.
No, go,
now let's play for money.
I would love to. I'm a terrible, terrible liar. I'm such a bad liar. I'm not good at being
sneaky.
But
you could have like shades on.
I know. But I do like to show up. And just kind of like unassuming, like for people that don't know who I am, I like to just kind of show up and roll in and just do my thing. And I think, you know,
I'm telling you, you could totally hustle them.
Yeah.
Totally hustle them. And then like you start out and you miss everything.
But that's probably
going to be difficult for you to miss all of them.
It
and
is
then go,
hard.
Well, can we just play for money? Maybe that's my thing.
It's hard. because at a certain point it does become muscle memory. You right. know, like at a certain point, especially with trap, you get so into the zone of just shooting those straight movers and side. Like it's crazy how you could try to miss and you still hit it and you're like, that was just not what I was trying to do. But I think being a woman in the industry in general, you can be underestimated a lot.
Oh yeah.
So it is nice to be able to be on the field and kind of show my skills, but it doesn't happen a lot. Cause you know, I've been in this industry for 3 years now and I don't think I've ever worked with anything to do with shotguns.
That,
so.
Which is crazy for me to think that,
I know.
But I mean, they're transferable skills over
exactly.
to all shooting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so one thing that I kind of wanted to touch base with you today before we really get talking about, because we've got to get to the Facts and Firearms and the 8.6 blackout. We've got to get to that. But
yes.
I want to, this is a hunting podcast.
It is. It is a hunting podcast.
We're going to talk hunting.
Yeah.
But what, there's not a lot to do right now.
Yes.
There is preparation for next season.
We're in the in-between.
Yeah. And then there's hot as hell hog hunting at night. Which is what we're going to talk about.
Which is what we're going to talk about.
but really give me an idea and some of the tips and tricks that you've learned over the years on what to do in your off season. What should you be working on? What can guys do at, let's start at home. Like if they're not on the range, what, are there any drills that these guys and gals could do in the off season to make their, you know, fall dove shoot a little bit more easy?
Yeah. Well, I always tell people, like, the worst thing you can do is put your hunting gun back in your safe and not touch it until next season. That's like the worst thing you can do. I think, you know, staying really comfortable with your gun is super important. And like you said, at home, there's even some at home drills you can do. You know, what I used to do when I was competing, so my main game was international skeet, which is a Olympic game. And a lot of that is that mounting motion. So you start at a low mount and then you mount as soon as you see the target. So just that motion alone, getting that motion down for competition was really important. But also even when you're thinking about it, you're out in the field, you want to get your gun up and mounted really quickly. You know, you don't know when you're going to see a bird and it could come out of nowhere and you have to be ready. So a lot of times, like drills I would do at home is just practicing that mount, setting, you know, like a piece of paper or something up on the wall and just practicing, you know, aiming at that dot or that piece of paper and
like
pulling
my
gun up.
Bringing your gun up and then to the target.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Just from like different angles and positions. And, you know, sometimes I'd also like set up like a line or something and just follow that line across the wall. So I think just maintaining that muscle movement, because it's amazing how easily we can forget things over time. You know, like if you haven't picked up your gun in a while, it's like sometimes you just pick it up and it's like you're picking it up for the first time, you know?
Right. But we were just talking about it because we said, well, what if you were to mess up on purpose? But you really can't right now because you've had so much of that muscle memory built in that it's second nature.
Especially with shotgun, you know, clay target shooting, it's your seeing and shooting. There's not a lot of aiming involved. There's not, you know, when you're shooting a rifle, you're sitting down, your, you know, breath control, trigger control, you're thinking about all these things. When you're shooting clay targets, it's very much you see and you shoot. It's getting your muscle memory down, getting the movements down so that when you see that target, you don't have to think about anything. You don't have to think about where your hands are or how your arms are moving. You're literally just seeing it and shooting it.
Right.
Your eyes and your finger are working together. And it's very much like people, you know, you'll talk to some of the best shooters out on the field. You know, when I was at Lindenwood, some of the best guys, they were all sporting clay shooters.
Right.
And you'd talk to them, you know, they'd hit a target, you know, a crazy sporting clay target. You'd be like, how'd you hit that? Like, what was your lead? And honestly, most of the time, they couldn't tell you.
Right.
Most of them, they'd be like, well, I just saw it and I knew it was going that way. And I shot in front of it. You know,
and
all these
calculations are going on in their minds and they don't even realize
it's all just, you know, getting that repetition and getting that experience, you know, with clay targets and with dove hunting, with any kind of bird hunting, just getting that experience and getting those motions down. That's going to help you more than anything.
Yeah. Okay. So that leads into my next little point. So you can diagnose this problem. You've probably diagnosed it for me before, but in most people, when they're out hunting, you see that bird come in, like dove are very quick. And if I see one coming in, I'm going to miss that bird. But if I like glance over and he's right there, I'm going to hit that bird every time. Why is that?
I mean, you know, it's just that quick motion. When you have too much time to think, I mean,
that's
sometimes that can get you can get you in trouble for sure.
Yeah. 100% that's the problem. Because I sit there and I look at this and I see it's coming and I'm like, okay, I've got the, I know which way they're going to fly.
Exactly. And you get this, a lot of times you can't, that's the thing, you know, with clay targets, you know which way they're going to go. And a lot of times with doves, they can move around and kind of fake you out. But I think.
But when I see it and I have to make a snapshot.
Exactly.
That's when I connect and I'm like, well, why did I hit that one? And it's miss when the,
our
easy
brains,
ones?
Our brains mess us up sometimes.
Well, mine gets me into way too much trouble.
It's like, it's like my dad used to always say to me when I was shooting, he's like, it's physics, Emily. You point the gun where it needs to go. You pull the trigger when you need to pull the trigger. You're going to hit the target. He's like, I don't know what's so hard.
Oh my gosh. That would drive me nuts.
Because I was like, this is what's so hard.
Yes. Yeah. The head, it's, the head games that it, you play.
It is.
And you, so you guys would, you, you probably played head games with other shooters while on the line, right?
Some people did. I didn't. I was, you know, I like being out there and having fun with people. But when I got into international skeet, it was very much a more serious sport. People are out there and they'll shoot their targets and then they'll walk away and not watch anyone else shoot and stay by themselves. It's very serious. And I didn't like that. I like shooting sporting clays because it's more of like golfing with your buddies. Yeah. Like, you know, you're out there going to each station and you're just hanging out. And I'm much more of a relaxed shooter like that. Right. I don't like the serious game. And that's like one thing, you know, trap's a little like that. You have to all be quiet because you have the puller, the voice pullers. Oh, yeah. And I hate that. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm a loud talkative person. So
no.
So I love sporting clays because I can be a little more relaxed. I'm much more of a relaxed shooter. I'm not really a head games person. I'm not really like a, I shoot and I'm quiet and serious. I do my best shooting when I'm just out there with my friends and I'm relaxed. And
So on the trap fields or sporting clays, what should people be working on in the off season? What should be their goal?
I think goal is just consistency. You know, set, if you're going to shoot once a week, if you're going to shoot once every other week, you know, just set a consistent schedule and get out to the range and shoot some targets. And I think also being multifaceted, you know, if you're a trap shooter, try to shoot skeet sometime, try to shoot sporting clay sometime. The only thing it's going to do is make you better. We found on the team, it was always more difficult to take a trap shooter and make them an all around shooter, as opposed to taking like a sporting clay shooter and making them a trap shooter. Because, you know, with trap, it's very, you know, you kind of have just a couple different angles it could go and you're already mounted. When you yell pull, you know, when you're shooting sporting clays, a lot of times people kind of start at a modified low mount and they're mounting and they're shooting all different crazy targets. And I think just sharpening your skills as far as your reflexes go, you know, because sometimes in trap you're shooting and it's windy and those targets are kind of bouncing a little bit. And if you're not used to that, that can be difficult. So I just say like in the off season, try something different. Try some sporting clays, try some five stand, sharpen just your clay target skills. I think clay target skills as a spectrum is just really helpful. You know, being able to shoot these different games and seeing different targets can help you, especially, you know, when you're hunting. I mean, sporting clays is basically a version of hunting. You know, they've created these targets to kind of look like quail, dove, all these different, you know, rabbits. You have the rabbit target that rolls across the runner. Ground. Yeah. So you have all these different targets that are kind of meant to mimic these birds. So I think just in your off season, shooting some sporting clays, you know, finding a range near you.
Yeah.
And just going out and checking it out.
And
just
do a league.
Yeah. Just keeping those reflexes, going out there with your friends, meeting people. I think that's what the shooting sports is all about.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's one thing that I'm sitting here thinking about is when you go out with friends, when it's all by yourself.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of pressure. But with guys around, girls around, like giving you fits or giving you issues.
Bets,
I mean, that's going
to
be.
Whatever. You like to bet on stuff.
Side bets.
I love shooting under pressure. I'm one of those people. My friends always used to joke like, oh, if Emily gets in a shoot off, it's all over, because I loved the pressure. I loved being up in front of everyone and I loved being able to just like, you know, do my thing in front of an audience. That was my favorite.
That's how I was, except it was on the golf course. Like I would shoot like crap the whole time. And then we'd get to the beer hole and it was like, OK, if they owe me a beer. If I win this hole, and I'd win it every time.
We have that on skeet too. And skeet, it's station 7.
Really?
You'd always be like, if you miss the station 7 low house, then you had to buy everybody beer.
Oh,
100%.
See.
Skeet people, you know what I'm talking about.
A little bit of added pressure there.
It is. It always added pressure. And we were like 18 at the time. So I was like, okay, who's buying beer?
Yeah, no one can buy beer. That's funny. All right, we're going to take a real quick break here and hear from our sponsors.
Awesome.
ATN. You know, a real handy tip that I always like to do is before I go out on a hunt, I make sure there aren't any updates for my ATN optics. This helps improve performance and make sure I'm up to date on everything ATN. You can find out more at atncorp.com, but ATN optics unite top of the line performance with state-of-the-art technology in thermal and digital day and night vision system that allows you to do more in the evening hours. So find out more at atncorp.com. Hodgdon Powder Company. I'm in the midst of loving reloading it. And this is, I am a total novice at this, but I'm learning more and more as I go with HodgdonReloading.com. I can find out what powders I need to be utilizing and which loads are best for my gun. So find out more at HodgdonReloading.com, because for 75 years, the Hodgdon family and employees have been passionate about hunting and the shooting sports. They are now the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless black powder and black powder substitute propellants. You've got to utilize them. I'm telling you, it's going to be life-changing, especially if you're a reloader or if you're just getting your reloading. Now's the time to do it. Find out more at HodgdonReloading.com. All right, we're jumping back in. We were talking about some tips and tricks that shooters can use in their off season with Emily from Facts and Firearms. But I know everybody's kind of jumping on this podcast trying to find out in hunting applications about the 8.6 blackout.
Yes.
Which was new for SHOT Show 2022. This was huge. Yeah. I was the first one in line to shoot this at range day.
Yeah, you were probably one of the first people to get to shoot this round out of the whole industry, really. We brought, some 8.6 builds, including this one right here. We brought this to SHOT Show. This is actually probably the one that you got to shoot.
Yeah, and if you're listening, I'm sorry, but we're looking at a beautiful bolt action rifle up here chambered in 8.6. And this is a new round. This is just
brand new.
And you guys kind of worked in conjunction with Q LLC,
yeah,
kind of to develop this. And really, they came to you guys for the barrels and
So Faxon, primarily, we're a barrel manufacturer. We make full firearms, but barrels have always been our bread and butter. We make some of the best barrels in the industry, and we're one of a few companies that makes everything from the ground up, from raw bar stock in house.
Right.
So we're really proud of that, and Q came to us with a unique problem. They were trying to make a 1-in-3 twist barrel.
And okay, so 1-in-3 is not your norm. Usually it's a 1-in-8, 1-in-7, something like that.
Yep.
And I think most 300 blackout is mostly all 1-in-8, I believe.
1-in-7, 1-in-8.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But this is way different.
It's way different.
Like if you look, you can go on to Faxon's website and check out they've got some barrel videos.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. If you go to faxandfirearms.com/86BLK, you'll be able to see we have a video with the bore scope.
Yep.
And you can see that actual twist rate compared to a 300 blackout. The 1-in-3 is absolutely crazy. I mean, it looks like a candy cane. We showed people at SHOT Show.
It's like threads.
Exactly. We showed people at SHOT Show and they'd look down it and they would be like, holy crap.
It's something way different. I'm not used to seeing that type of...
It's way
twist.
Different. Yeah. So Q, they initially developed this round. It's kind of like the big brother of 300 blackout. And they developed this round, you're using the twist rate to make that round go faster and hit harder. And that's kind of a concept that I don't think a lot of companies have considered before. Usually thinking about powder, you're thinking about the bullet itself.
Right.
We're actually using the twist rate to help get that bullet further.
Right. To transfer more energy downrange. And so the 300 blackout was really, really developed for door kickers.
Yeah.
I mean, this was close quarters and that's what they wanted. They want a 30 caliber bullet.
Yeah.
For close quarters. This wasn't intended for 100, 150 yards for hogs. I mean, it wasn't developed for that. But that's what their thinking was with the 8.6.
Yeah. So, as some people know, Kevin Brittingham from Q, he's a big hunter, loves going hunting in South Africa. And part of the development of this round was to be an incredible hunting ground. And it's so funny, a lot of people online are calling it like the ultimate hog hunting ground. And I actually got to experience that for myself last week.
I know, but don't get to that yet. You're going to give away all the secrets.
Okay.
Because I do want to talk a little bit about, because right before we came in to do the podcast, you were showing me some of Kevin's rounds.
Yeah.
That he had pulled from these big games.
Kudu, zebra, all that kind of stuff.
He even shot a cape with it, right?
Yeah.
Cape buffalo.
This round is, the lethality of it is incredible. It's, you know, when it hits, it's kind of, that twist is making it spiral. And if you see online, you know, we have some pictures of a round pulled from an animal and you can see it like fans. It looks like a pinwheel. It's crazy.
And that's what it's doing to the bullet. There's so much energy transferring as it's going through the critter, it's actually forming a pinwheel with the cartridge and it's all staying together. I mean, I think it's like 98% weight retention of the round, something like that.
Yeah. He shot, I think it was, you know, some sort of kudu or something. And he shot it. He said he shot it in the shoulder and he pulled that round out like clear opposite the other side of the animal.
Yeah.
And it had just destroyed.
That was, I think, because I saw the video on it. It was a kudu and it was facing him.
Yeah. Crazy.
And it hit the right offside shoulder.
Yeah.
And it basically tipped the kudu backwards.
Yeah. It's dropping huge animals very quickly.
Right.
And it's doing it, you know, we've got the subsonics and the supersonics. You know, we've been working with, you know, Gorilla Ammunition and Discreet Ballistics. They're making the ammo for it right now. And they've been doing a lot of development with the round and just being able to, you know, the big concept, we really want to keep that projectile intact, like you've seen, you know, in some of those pictures. And, you know, they've been able to do that. And another great reason it's a great hunting round is you're not having to carry around this big, weighty, lengthy barrel. I mean, we're making these in 8, 12, and 16, and it's been optimized for 12. So 12 is the optimal length for this barrel. So you're not having to carry around some crazy long rifle. You're just, you know, and it's a barrel swap, really, for a lot.
Yeah.
So it's making it real simple for you to get an 8.6 build in
it's
your arsenal.
Easy. It's easy. We're going to jump in here real quick. We're going to hear from our sponsors, but on the other side of this, you're going to hear what it does in the field with actual use from Emily that she just, I mean, fresh off the hunt. So, so hang on right there. Timney Triggers. Timney is committed to producing the world's finest triggers. It's right in their slogan, the world's finest triggers. So they've been doing this for a while, and they make it easier and easier. I just installed a Remington 700 for a gun that I'm using later on this fall. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a gunsmith, and I sometimes pretend to be. But realistically, you do not have to be a gunsmith to do these trigger jobs and change these triggers out. And it improves your shooting greatly. With each press of the trigger, it seems to get just better and better each time. But upgrade your hunting season with the new Calvin Elite Custom Remington Model 700. That is the one that I installed. You could do a Tika T3, which is very popular out there, or the Weatherby Vanguard. Yep, they've got that too. All can be found at timneytriggers.com. Sig Sauer. Okay, you're going to get tired of hearing it. You're going to get tired of hearing it, but I have a cross and I love it. I am unashamed of it. Ever since I saw it backstage of the NSGW show, and I think it was 2019, I have wanted this rifle. And I've got one. I've got it in 6.5 Creedmoor, and I absolutely am in love with this rifle because it's easily packable, because I like to run and gun hunt. And if you're looking for a rifle that is easily packable and easy to carry in the backcountry, this is going to be the rifle for you. It is offered in 6.5 Creedmoor. It only weighs 6.5 pounds. That's a bonus, right? Because you're trying to trim weight in the backcountry. It's available in 308, 277 Sig Fury. So, and there's more to come. I'm not going to spill the beans yet, but I know there's more coming from this rifle, and I can't wait to see what Sig Sauer does. But you can find more, because it is designed and built in the USA, at SigSauer.com. All right, we're talking with Emily of Faxon, and you have, a great story to tell. And I want to, I've got to pick your story apart a little bit.
Totally fine.
But I'm going to let you jump into your hog hunt with the 8.6 Blackout.
All right. So last week, Gorilla Ammunition, they're the ones primarily, making this round with us. They invited Facts and Firearms and Q down to their ranch in Florida, Vero Beach, to come hunt some hogs. 1,100 acres. Nothing but hogs. They've got feeders set up, corn spread out. You know, these things are everywhere. And I'd never been hog hunting before. And that's always been a dream of mine.
What?
This is my first hog hunt.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, I'm from Connecticut, okay? So
This is where I'm going to start picking the story apart. Because I want to ask you first, what was your camo selection?
I didn't. I'm pretty sure I wore something that looked like this. Yes. I was out there in like t-shirt, jeans.
And like you had like new Asics, like turquoise.
Oh, everyone keeps commenting on that. We'll have to like throw up the picture or something somewhere. Yeah. But I'm wearing these new Hokas and they're pristine.
Oh, yeah. Like, they are clean.
They're not muddy at all.
It looks nothing like the vegetation around you. But that being said, if you've hunted hogs in the southeast, this feeders is the way to do it, or you'll hunt them down like pipe lines or something like that, because the vegetation is so thick.
It is, yeah.
That you and they're decimating thousands and thousands of acreage
super
of crops,
invasive
and,
population. Yeah.
So you in most states you don't have to have a license to hunt them.
Mm-mm.
They just say shoot them, let them
shoot
lay,
as many
eat,
as you can.
Shoot as many as you can. And that's one of the things about it is that's why I'm giving Emily a hard time is because like you really don't need camouflage to do this.
No, you don't. And that's one reason I really liked it. I'm not, like I said, I'm not very quiet. I like talking and, you know, having to sit in a blind and be quiet for like 3 hours waiting for a deer to pop up. That's rough for me. So hunting hogs when you're just kind of rolling around and you just find a spot and you wait. I think we waited like, half an hour, 20 minutes maybe. We just waited for the feeder to go off and they run right in.
Oh yeah. They're like in the wings waiting. Yeah. It's like that dinner bell goes off and then it's just, everybody ready to shoot on three, right?
Exactly.
We're shooting on three.
Yeah. And this was our first time really taking out our 8.6 builds for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
We had not shot these at any animals yet. And so we were super excited. Bob Faxon and I, our founder, were actually in a blind together. And when a first round of pigs came out and, you know, he had hit one, but it ran far away. We couldn't find it.
Right.
So then the second round of pigs came out and one, they were all kind of in the trees and one was in front. And I got my gun up and I said to Bob, I was like, listen, Bob, as soon as this thing clears that tree, I'm shooting it. And he was like, okay. He was like, okay. And I'm telling you,
and
this thing.
Bob is like one of the most relaxed dudes I've ever met.
Our founder.
Just a fantastic dude.
Our founder, Bob, is awesome.
He is. He's a great guy.
And he let me take the first shot, you know, so it came right out from behind this tree. And as soon as I saw center mass, I pulled the trigger and I was shooting unsuppressed too. So I was shooting unsuppressed, but even then it was still quiet.
Really?
You know, it's a quiet round.
Okay.
And, you know, especially with the subs, you're
How
pulling
How far that, was your shot?
About 150 yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, see, that would be questionable with a 300 blackout because at those further distances, the drop is what kills
exactly.
the energy of the 300 blackout.
Yeah. And with these, you're getting a lot more energy. You're going a lot further with the subs. So, and it's crazy with the subs, you pull the trigger and it's like a pause and you can literally, it's almost like you can watch this bullet.
Oh, yeah.
You watch the trail and it's a second before you hear that thwop of it hitting the hog. And I tell you, this thing dropped. I dropped it. I mean, really? I shot at center mat. Well, it did not move. It rolled.
That's the other thing
stopped.
I was going to tell you about is because I looked at the photo and I go, that's a little far back.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter.
No, it didn't.
And this, what is it, about probably 250, 300 pound hog?
It was a big one,
I mean, so when you look at that and you look at Emily's shot placement, I think it's a testament of what this round is capable of. Because with a 300 blackout, you would never find that hog ever.
Yeah.
You wouldn't find that hog, especially at 150 yards. And I say shot far back. I'm talking like maybe two or 3 inches from an easy like heart double lung type of deal.
Yeah. And I mean, like I was saying earlier on the podcast, you know, seeing that clay target, shooting that clay target, that's kind of how I felt with this hog. I wasn't really thinking about the shot or like breath or, you know, trigger pull. I just saw it. And as soon as it came out from behind that tree, I was like, bam.
Yeah.
So that's how it went.
Did Did Mr. Faxon, Mr. Bob, get to shoot one too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We went out later that night with some thermals, and he got a bunch that night and some more the next day. So we got plenty out there. You know, we really helped Gorilla clean up the ranch a little bit, but
that's it's a good thing to help clear them up. But no, I think one of my first times hunting with a 300 blackout, I did kind of the same thing. I was on foot and I was in an enclosure. I think it was like 600 acres or something like that. And the rancher was like, just all you need to do is feeder hop. And so that's what I did. I just kind of feeder hopped and like, okay, in 30 minutes, that one's going to go off. So I'm going to get over there, see what comes out. But I had to get pretty close because the 300 blackout, I just didn't have a lot of confidence in on my holdovers. You know, I'm not using this big fancy optic. It's like a 1-6, you know, because I've got to get close.
Exactly.
And I think the one thing I do appreciate about the 8.6 is your ability to step back.
Yeah. Yeah, this is getting a lot of range. And it's getting a lot of range with, like I said, without as much weight, without as much power. So you're not having this crazy kickback. You're not, you know, it's an enjoyable experience shooting the 8.6 out in the field, whether you're shooting supers or subs, suppressed or unsuppressed. I mean, obviously suppressed is the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've got Q's Pork Chop coming out. Today we'll be shooting with a Thunder Beast. We've got crazy, awesome suppressors to throw on these, and that's the way to go. But even unsuppressed, it's still a great shooting experience.
Well, and this is... You guys are launching barrels for the piston guns and bolt action. I think so when you start and you're like, well, it's a barrel swap. So what do I need to do? What talk about a little bit about the thread pitch too. If these guys are looking at suppressors, do they need to know?
Look at suppressors now, because that's probably going to be the thing you're waiting on the longest to get for your build. But it's kind of a different thread pitch. We've got M18 by 1.5.
Okay.
So it's a little unique in that sense. But like I said, Q's got the Pork Chop. We're using a Thunder Beast today. You know, we'll do some shooting with you guys and you'll get to see that. But definitely be thinking about what suppressor you want to throw in there, because shooting these suppressed,
it's almost like shooting a 22, because when we were shooting at SHOT Show, I was shocked on how quiet it was, because we, you know, down the line, because you guys were set up on the long range.
Yeah.
And down the line, like, guys were shooting suppressed like 338s and it was loud.
Yeah. And we had influencers and media people that would come up and shoot it, and they would pull the trigger and they would look at me because they thought that something had gone wrong. They were like, is that it? Really? They thought it was a squib or something. And I'm like, no, that's how quiet it is. And that's how it feels, because, you know, you're getting you're like no kickback. You're getting a great shot. And it's not, like I said, not as much weight, not as much length, you know, optimized for 12 inch. Yeah. And you know, we'll be offering these, like I said, 8, 12, 16.
Right.
For both the Remish style, you know, and the Air 10s.
Okay. So. And optimized for the 12 inch. And with supers, you're getting, you know, 2250 feet per second out of it.
Yeah.
So even at the longer ranges, like if you were wanting to take this out further distances, 500, 600, 700, 800 yards, it's okay. You can do that.
You have the option. Yeah. Cause that's the worst thing. You don't want to be out in the field and be like, oh, that's a great animal, but I can't take that shot because I've got 300 blackout and it's too far away.
And that's what you find yourself in. It's just, it's just a situation where the 300 blackout really kind of falls off.
Yeah, like
that,
exactly.
And that's unfortunate. But again, the 300 blackout was not designed for four-legged critter, like extermination. Like that's not what it was for.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking to one of Q's main engineers last week on our hunt, and he said, you know, even when he was developing 300 blackout, he was thinking about 8.6 blackout. He said, you know, really during the development of 300, it was like, all right, 8.6 is next.
Right.
You know, and using that 1-3 twist and being able to achieve that distance with less force. It's, you know, I don't know a lot about physics, but the way they explain it, you know, it's crazy being able to create that distance and create that power with not a lot of length, not a lot of weight. And, you know, we were shooting these at SHOT Show Range Day. We were shooting out to 1,000 yards and just, I mean,
it was still
it wasn't that difficult at all. I think it took our sales director, you know, a few tries to kind of sight it in. But after that, he was hitting
every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what it'll do to you. And you're getting more energy downrange with the 8.6. Thanks for being on. And thanks for
having me.
Man, it's been too long since we've had you on. We'll get you on around dove season to really talk about like why I'm missing everything.
Yeah, so. I'll have to give KJ some pro tips again. But
yeah,
no, I'm happy to be here. I've always wanted to come hang out with you guys. Right. So.
It's that time of year. Start preparing for next season and
plan your build.
Yeah, plan your build. Talk real quick as we sign off on where they can learn more about the 8-6 from Faxon and what they need.
Yeah. So what you're going to need, you know, it's a 308 bolt face.
Yep.
So, you know, get one of our BCGs. We've got a great chassis here from MDT, but a lot of different chassis you can look at. You know, really, you're kind of creating your own custom gun here. Yeah. We've got a Defiance Action in here.
Which are sweet.
Yeah, super sweet. You know, find a great action, find a great chassis. And we're going to be releasing barrels pretty soon. So, you know, keep a lookout on our Instagram. That's where we tell everybody the information pretty much before anyone else finds out. It's either going to be email or Instagram. So, you know, sign up for our emails. Check us out on Instagram at Faxon Firearms.
Well, and the podcast.
And our podcast. We have a great podcast. Yeah. You know, we actually just wrapped an episode talking to David at Discreet Ballistics a little more about the round itself. Yeah. Because, you know, we're developing the barrels, but the round itself has definitely had a lot of engineering go into it that we haven't been a part of directly. So getting to hear more about that process was really cool. But yeah, plan your build. Like I said, the suppressor is probably going to be the big thing you're waiting on. But you know, we've got a cherry bomb on this one from Q and those are great too. So
they are sweet.
You know, plan your build and check out FaxonFirearms.com/86blackout. Sign up for their mailing list and you'll be the first to know when we drop barrels, which will be super soon. We've got all the product pages up so you can check them out and see exactly which one you want to grab and sign up directly to be notified when that one's in stock.
And then go on, purchase it, and you're done.
Done.
That's
and then
it.
You throw it in your gun, go shoot some hogs.
You'll be set to go.
Yeah.
Emily, thanks for joining us. Gun Talk Hunt fans, as always, keep those muzzles pointed in a safe direction and always be on the hunt.